You are Locked On 76ers, your daily podcast on the Philadelphia 76ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 76ers. I'm your host, Keith Pompey. Happy Wednesday to you. I have my man, my sidekick, Mark Narducci in the house. What's up, Mark?
Keith, always good to be with you.
Yeah, well, you should say it's always great to be with me. Only playing. But Mark, I really want to talk to you about the Twin Towers, Joel Embiid, and Jahlil Okafor. And the reason why I want to talk to you about those two is because it seems like that's been the biggest debate going on. You know, everyone is saying, what is Brett Brown doing? He has these two guys. They should be out there playing together. You know, you have Embiid, who's really athletic. He can shoot the three. He's 7'2". And then you have Jahlil Okafor, who's 6'11", and who has phenomenal post moves. And they're both centers. They're, arguably two of the best three players on the team. So everyone wants to see them on the floor together. And there's a chance that in tonight's game, against DeMarcus Cousins, who moved to the power 47-footer, and Kosta Koufos, a 7-foot center for Sacramento Kings, that we'll see these guys out there. Now, we don't know if the Sixers are going to start them. They probably won't. But there will be some opportunities for those two to play against the Sacramento Kings Twin Towers. Do you like it?
I don't, Keith. I don't think the two of them have the games that complement each other. We talk about Embiid. He's a great three-point shooter. He's among the leaders, blah, blah, blah. He's not going to make his living as a three-point shooter. We all know that. It's a nice little diversion. He's tremendous down on the blocks. He's strong as anything. He's powerful. And he'd be taking up the space that Okafor takes up. I just don't see it working. And I think Okafor is going to be a good NBA player. I also don't think his development has improved this year in his second season. I know his minutes are down. I know the knee injury and everything like that. But I don't see it improving. On the other hand, I could see Noel and Embiid working more together, because Noel doesn't have as many offensive needs that he can do, and so I think that could be better. But to get the most effectiveness out of Embiid, you got to post him down low. To get it out of Okafor, you got to post him down low. You can't have them both at the same time.
I kind of agree with you. Also, I think my biggest concern is, now it may not happen tonight's game, but my biggest concern is who guards the four. Who guards the stretch four? I mean, as good as Embiid is, Carl Anthony Towns had him on skates a couple of times.
Right.
He had him on skates. Carl is, he's listed as a center, but he's really like a four.
Yeah.
He has four mobility, and it's just to the point, I think that will happen all the time. Secondly, when you have these two together on a defensive end, it's like, Embiid is more of the shot blocker. He's more the rim protector. Okafor struggles a little bit guarding people. And that's on a block. You don't want to put him out there in space, because he will become a liability on a defensive end. So, to me, that's a concern. Now, again, even when you have Noel, Noel isn't a four, but he would have to play the four because he's the most athletic of the three. And don't get me wrong, I know that Embiid is extremely athletic, but Noel is a solid shot blocker. But of the three, he's the most athletic, so he would have to play a four. So then you're taking him away. What I mean? So I don't like it for either pair. I don't like it.
I know, but I like it better for Noel, because I think Noel is a much better weak side defender. When someone gets beat, he does a tremendous job on closing in and everything like that. So I think Noel, I would certainly trust him much more to go out and try to defend stretch fours. Okafor, I wouldn't even trust him to defend fives. His defense and... everyone's made a lot about it is just subpar. It really is. So I think he hurt you on that end. And if he's not down there scoring, then you're really not getting the main benefit. So I think Noel, as you mentioned, Keith, is such a good athlete. I think he can adapt defensively. I think offensively, Noel is going to be who he is. He's going to be a guy that's going to get second chances. He's not going to be a guy you run a lot of plays for. But he does have the athleticism and the motor to, I think, help you, especially on the defensive end.
I agree. I think Noel is the better pair. But I'm just saying, like, in an ideal situation, you know, you don't really want him away from the basket. You know what I mean? But offensively, I can see that working with the two. But the thing is, though, it's like, you know, like you said, Embiid is such a beast on the block. And I know he can shoot threes, but you don't want him standing out there all the time. Because, first of all, loses effectiveness. And then who's going to grab the rebounds? You know, so, you know, the Sixers have a problem. If some people think it's a great problem to have, I disagree. That is a great problem just because of the fact that you don't have any of these guys to play for. And not only that, think about this. You have Ersan Ilyasova.
Yeah.
You have Dario Saric. Now, I'm not even going to get into Ben Simmons because he's, you know, we don't know when he's coming. But he's going to come back in January. But right now, I'm not going to get into him. So if you got these two guys or these three guys, the centers, you're trying to rotate them at the Twin Towers, then you're losing the shooting power of Ilyasova. You're losing the playmaking ability and the grit of Dario Saric. You know, so it's like I'm not a big fan of the Twin Towers.
No, I think if there's ever such a thing for a team that's 4-14 that you could have too much in one area, this is. Now, the Sixers have backed themselves in the corner. They said they're not going to give any of these guys away. What are you going to do? If you're not going to play Okafor more minutes, and I know he had the knee injury, Keith, and he had to come back, but I see his development has been stunted here in his second year. The guy needs to play, and in this situation, A, he isn't going to get the most minutes, and he's not going to get the most favorable type situation offensively and defensively. So, I'd be certainly an advocate to see a trade. Yeah.
I'm not going to give up on Okafor right now. I don't think that this is an ideal situation. I think that he would be better suited if he was moved. But in regards to him being an NBA player, I'm not going to give up on him. Because, see, it's two things right now. And you know, the situation that the Sixers have, as far as the offense that they run or the scheme, it just doesn't fit him. It's kind of like, you know, trying to fit a square peg in a circle. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's just not him. So I'm going to get on that a little bit, but right now I'm going to talk about the other thing. It's kind of like his conditioning. Now, typically a rookie, you know, a guy improves from his rookie year to his second year that summer. Now, Okafor had that surgery. So, you know, he went to Duke and he took summer classes, right? He really wasn't able to work out until, you know, until he came back here. And when he was doing that, he wasn't really doing anything. He wasn't doing any conditioning. You know, he may scrimmage once or twice or whatever, but he wasn't doing anything. So he was unable to work on his game, work on his shot, work on his defense in the summertime. And now he's trying to get back into shape. You know, now his body looks great. His body looks better than it ever has. But as far as running up and down the court, you know, doing all these other things, he hasn't been able to do that. Secondly, people are figuring him out a little bit more. Like, if you notice, because he hasn't been able to advance his game, which is no fault of his own, teams are like, if you look at it, at defenders, they stay in the center of him, and when he does his moves, they try to give him contact before he completes the move. Because, you know, the loop-de-doop, whatever you want to call it. Yeah. So then he gets off balance, and then he throws up an off-balance shot. If you don't put any pressure on him, the next thing you know, he's going to score. Yeah. But if you body him up, the next thing you know, the shot is typically short. Now, as far as I'm saying I'm not giving up on him, getting back to that, I believe that he's in the wrong situation, like I said, because he's the type of guy, he needs to play with an enforcer type of defender. He needs a guy there to protect him. You know, he needs to be in an offense where everything runs through him. You get shooters around him, and then but you have the power forward who is a guy kind of like Carl Anthony Towns has, and dang, a guy who goes up against a bigger, stronger guy who puts a body on him, who frustrates him, and then next thing you know, Anthony Towns does not have to guard a Joel Embiid. So basically, he can school Joel, but then everybody else is double-teaming Joel. I think that's the situation that Okafor needs to be in. You know what I mean? And I think that we probably won't see that much growth this season because, you know, it's just you work in the NBA. They play so many games that you rarely practice. But I think that we will see growth next season. But I also think that this is the wrong situation for him to excel and exceed. You know, I don't see him excelling here.
And plus, and you've pointed this out, his numbers as a starter when Embiid's not there, much better. He's told you, I know in one of the stories, that he's just accustomed to starting, and it's a mindset and everything like that.
Coming off the bench, yeah.
Instead of coming off the bench. And I don't see that improving here. Now, here's the problem if you're the Sixers. You pull the trigger, and then you're relying on Embiid, who we know has had the foot problems. Noel, who's had his share of injuries. You know, do you cut the cord totally? And then, where's your depth? You know, so I know the Sixers are in a tough situation. And the other thing I think that the Sixers are wary about, Keith, is trading him and maybe getting, like, a late first for him or something. They don't see that as equal value, and it wouldn't be. So I think there's a lot of factors, but I do say this. I know with the injuries, I know all that, I know coming back, but he has not progressed in his second season here with the Sixers.
He hasn't. Now, you can make a case for that. He hasn't. But I just think that, his future, I think he'll be good somewhere
else. I do too, no question.
I just don't think it's here. Because again, like you said, is Embiid, and I know you have these assets and you want to get some equal value. Right now, man, at this particular time, today, you know, was it November the 29th? They're not going to get equal value on November 29th. Now, you may try to get equal value around the trade deadline or something else, but, you know, you're not going to get equal value now. So it's the problem is, well, if you have so much faith in Embiid, and I understand people are scared and they're nervous for him, but at the same time, you got to build a roster. You have to get some people in here. And, you know, and I'm not going to say that, like, you know, because it's weird. You know, everyone thought that they were going to get equal value for Michael Carter Williams. Everyone said, oh, we're going to get this high draft pick. We're going to get this high draft pick. Man, that pick, I mean, it's probably going to be a lottery pick, but it's going to be number 14 or 13.
The way the Lakers are playing. Absolutely.
So it's like, so that's not equal value for a rookie of the year candidate. I mean, a rookie of the year winner. Now, you can say what you want about Michael Carter Williams. Some people like his game. Some people think he's overhyped. Some people think, you know, he's not that good. But at the same time, he was the rookie of the year. So now you're going to get a draft pick that's probably going to be 13, 14. And you can say, okay, well, we drafted him number 11. Yeah, but he was still the rookie of the year.
Well, one thing you have to say, not only about Michael Carter Williams, but any young player, and that includes Okafor, Embiid, the key thing to anyone in the NBA or any league is staying on the court. Michael Carter Williams hasn't been able to do it lately. Other people haven't. Okafor's got to show that he can do it, and Embiid has to show he can do it. Durability is the number, besides talent, durability is certainly an asset that every franchise is looking to pin their top players on.
But you know what? So let's talk about this. So everyone talks about draft picks. The Sixers, man, they're not going to get good based off of draft picks. I know they say, oh, yeah, we want to build it through the draft. So you look at the Toronto Raptors team, who they lost to on Monday night. You know, a couple years ago, the Raptors were in the same boat the Sixers were in, right? But they make trades, and they get players. Now, and so they surround these draft picks, they mature, they get older, but they're playing around veteran players who they kept. You know, and so when you think of that, and you're going to bring in another young guy, or you're going to base everything around a bunch of young guys, you know, look at the Minnesota Timberwolves, a quality team. Look at the Milwaukee Bucks. Look at Orlando for a little bit until this year they traded. What they did is they had all these lottery picks. They had all these good guys. And then what happens is, yeah, you can beat the Sixers, another young team, but you're not going to go far when you come play against the veteran ball clubs. So I believe that it's great to have all these first-round picks and the fans get excited and everything like that. But until you bring in a bona fide veteran to mix in with these guys, you're not going to the playoffs.
I agree that they should not get rid of any of these guys unless they can get an NBA body back. Toronto, you made a very, very good point on them, that they've got guys like Kyle Lowry coming in, but they've also drafted well, DeMar DeRozan. So it's a combination of everything. But you're right, the Sixers are at the point right now where, A, they're going to get high picks based on their own. They don't need any other teams anymore picks, and they're going to get that Lakers pick this year. They need bona fide NBA bodies. I mean, they need veteran presence. You're around the locker room. You see what a guy like Gerald Henderson, at least the influence that he can have on these young players. Enough's enough for this young. The NBA is not a young league. It's a veteran league. You look at all the recent champions and all that. Not that the teams are old, but they are people that have been in the NBA for a while. Well, Stephen Curry, what's his seventh year? Even Klay Thompson, how he's been progressing year after year. You've got to have. You can't be too old, but you've got to have veteran experience. And the Sixers are far from that.
And look at this. We're talking about Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. But they got good when they made the trade for Iguodala. And they got a couple other guys,
no
right?
No question.
So then, and you also
Andrew Bogut.
You know, yeah. All these guys, and then you know, you look at these teams, and they always bring in someone else who they trade. It's not just, and don't get me wrong, everyone says, "Oh, we're going to build through the draft. We're going to build through the draft," but all that's going to do is just make you, you know, the team of the future. You know what I mean? Because a lot of these guys don't stick around. You know what I mean? You keep building, and the next thing you know, it's like you have a lot of quote-unquote superstar draft picks, but they all want to play for that next contract, and there's a lot of times the chemistry isn't there, and they don't learn how to be the pro.
And you get you basically get 5 years with these guys, right? So mm-hmm. So even a guy like Embiid, who mm-hmm. the Sixers hope is with them for a long time, you've lost two of those years on the clock. You know, what if he decides after 5 years or something he wants to test the water? So you're right. Being young is just part of it, but you've got to have veteran presence. And in the NBA, it's really, really evident.
Yeah, it's really evident. But look, man, I can talk basketball with you for days. I enjoyed you coming on this podcast. We both agree that we don't think the Twin Tower experiment is going to work. We agree that it will work better with Nerlens Noel than it would with Okafor and Embiid. But we think that Noel will look better with Embiid. But at the same time, we think that, you know, it's something nice for the Sixers to consider. But moving forward, it's not the method that they're going to take to win games.
There's just one unknown in all this, and it's Ben Simmons. And he's such a good passer that if anyone can at least try to make it work, and with the spacing and all that, maybe he could. And maybe that's what the Sixers are waiting for as well.
Yeah, but you know, hey, I thank you for coming on here. And I think, you know, people, if you guys get a chance, you need to check out our weekly online show where we talk about Sixers. It's called Sixers Talk. And it's Mark and I. We've been doing it for 3 years. And like this podcast is, we give you the real. We don't sugarcoat things, and you know, we don't we tell you how it is. But you know, so keep coming here to this podcast. If you want to subscribe to it, you can go to iTunes, or you could go Audio Boom. But also, you know, you can just go to logonaphilly.com and go to the Sixers Now blog, and you will get this podcast and all the other ones that I did beforehand. But Mark, thanks, buddy, and I gotta have you on soon.
Always a pleasure, Keith.
Alright, thank y'all, and have a great day.